Blog Talk Radio.
Brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Vitor Ra, and we are here with the information, with the facts, because we are not conspiracy theorists. We are agenda analysts. Coming from an urban biblical perspective, we like to let you see what it looks like through our eyes. We do understand that truth is a hard pill to swallow for most of our people. Our people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge that they reject. And because we have rejected knowledge, we've put ourselves in a very vulnerable disposition because the Most High said he would reject us. I think it's important to get the facts. And instead of saying it's the truth, they call them alternative facts these days. So it's interesting the way that the lines are being muddled in society today with fake news and alternative facts, because truthers have been around for quite some time. But like I said, we just like to analyze the agenda. At the end of the day, you're going to come to your own conclusion. But as one said, be true to thine own self, because no one will stand before your maker but you to deal with how you lived your life. We do know that what goes around does come around. So the walk of righteousness is very important. Here at Social Change Action Network, which is also an extension of Al Hoyda, we have various programs broadcast that we do. On Tuesdays, the Heart of the Hebrew Woman. We deal with our community. We deal with our people first and foremost. We don't exclude any other nation, any other race. They're welcome to hear the information and the facts. But we have a community that has been downtrodden, forsaken, forgotten, in plight, confused, and pretty much being led by the nose in all different types of directions. So we have a show on Tuesdays that deals with our sisters, our women, so they can come back to being virtuous women, have some respect about themselves, and not parade themselves in front of other nations in a way that is unfit and unseeming to the Most High. On Wednesdays, we like to give you a little inspiration and encouragement. We know what today is, but on Shabbat, which is Saturday, the Sabbath time that we help to bring our people back to their culture. And here, our aim and our mission here at Al Hoyda Social Change Action Network is we are restoring the cultural identity of Black America, one day at a time. Restoring the cultural identity of Black America, one day at a time. Now, I only call you that because that's what you're quick to identify with. But we here are historians, and we give you historical, scientific, apologetic facts to help you to understand where you come from. You don't need to go to this place where they collect your DNA. It escapes my mind right now because that's a fallacy. That's a lie. They're actually just collecting and saving and storing your DNA so they better know who you are. And then they send you back with a lie to tell you that you're from a certain African Hamite tribe that you're not from. We are the people of the book. We are the people of the Hebrew diaspora. We are the lost tribes that they called lost, but no, they have been found. There have been many of books that have reported that, the 13th tribe by Sanders, by Koestler, Arthur Koestler. And then by Sanders, you have lost tribes in America found. And then you've got so many books out there, like From Babylon to Timbuktu by Rudolf Windsor. And these are books we ascribe to, because as soon as you start talking Bible, people think you're religious thumping, and we don't believe in religious dogma. First and foremost, you need to know that there was a Catholic Nicene Council that only took a number of our historical scrolls, compiled them, and called them a Bible. But there are many scrolls, documents out there that depict the sojourn of the people that you call African American, who are the true Hebrews of the Bible, and we talk about that. So the African diaspora, well, actually, Africa was named after Leo Scipio Africanus, and America was named after Amerigo Vespucci. We don't like to name ourselves after two mass continents, which is why we are trying to bring our people back to their culture to understand that they are the people of the book. The apologists understand that, and the archaeologists understand that, which is why when they dug up the caves, Qumran caves, they've taken our books and our records, because this is the biggest deception on the planet Earth, one of the biggest, and they don't want us to ever come into the knowledge of us being some of the first people to create society. Medical operations, brain surgeries, herbs, cooking, pottery, just buildings, artifacts, the pyramids, and so on. So we're not a racial show. As I said, you're welcome and privy to the information that we share amongst our people if you are of another culture, another race. But you seem to be okay with knowing who you are. Let me help my people to restore who they are. We didn't start at the back of a bus with Rosa Parks. We didn't start with a march with Martin Luther King. We didn't even start in slavery. We started thousands of years before then. And we like to expose the bigotry and just the all-out injustices towards our people that we see in society. Politics, war, these policies are all meant to destroy us. I won't go into secret societies today, but one of the tenets of the secret societies is to make sure that my people never come back into the knowledge and understanding of who they are, because they will come back into prominence and get above every other nation. And I don't know why they fear that, because we're a loving, cheerful, giving people at the end of the day. And don't let them make you think that you're from the jungles of Africa and that you were not civilized. That is the biggest lie that could ever have been told. So without further ado, so much for that, with that opening. There's a few topics we'll cover today. And first one off the top of the, well, let me let you know that if you want to call in, guest call in is 213-769-0910. And if you have a question or comment about anything I want to comment on today here on Straight No Chaser. And getting right into it, first and foremost, let's deal with entertainment, because our people are given to entertainment. Because ignorance is bliss and they don't want to know the truth, they'd rather be entertained. And two of the movies they're being entertained by right now, well, let's start with the first one that we did talk about last week when we had an open forum with the brothers, and that was Moonlight, where we did predict that Moonlight would win Picture of the Year. We knew that it would win Picture of the Year because America is hell-bent on effeminizing our men. And to see them becoming too masculine in this hour and awakening to the truth is a problem. So we want to destroy families. That's first and foremost. They want to keep abortions at an all-time high. And they also want same-sex marriage, because therefore we'll see no more black and brown babies being birthed or born. And so this movie is being promoted at an all-time high. So now we have gay black couples in the streets everywhere doing pirouettes because they feel like this is their time. Listen, your life is your life. I don't personally condone that lifestyle because I don't drive up one-way streets. And if you have any sense, you know exactly what I mean. A one-way street was not meant to be driven up, okay? So let's get that clear. The Most High made it very clear of the anatomy of a person, how they're born, and what their disposition and function is in the earth when they're born. And to say psychologically that's not so is a fallacy. All the way up to 1973, or was it 75? It may have been 73. Homosexuality and lesbianism was classified as a mental illness, and they fought tooth and nail to get that taken off the books. Let me say that again. In our government constitution and laws, homosexuality and lesbianism was considered a mental illness and dysfunction. That's why they got this show on ABC talking about Still I Rise, because they fought to get it taken off the books to say it is not a mental illness. Just because you take a pencil and turn it over and use the eraser and blot out some words off a piece of paper, it doesn't change the mental disposition of a person. For you to be attracted to something outside of the norm of what you're supposed to be attracted to, which is opposites attract, okay? Because it takes, you know, you take a magnet, it's the opposite, it's polar opposites. Everything in law tells you that in society. You know, we can't have the rebirth of plants. Bees pollinate the plants, they carry the pollen. There is an order in the universe, in the earth, that the Most High has already set in place. And then when you begin to pervert that, you begin to cease and stagnate growth, birth, newness. And so all you do is promote death. Sad thing about this, people, is that not only are they promoting effeminity in our community and effeminizing our men, is that what they're not reporting is, though there's pomp, circumstance, and celebration over homosexuality, and right now with Moonlight, black homosexuality, which we saw has destroyed the black church. Eddie Long helped to bring that to the forefront. There's been so much homosexuality going on in the black church since the 70s. It became blatant in the 90s. And now it's just all out. They run the black church, them and women. But what they're not reporting to you is the number of suicides that are taking place within the black community. Suicide rate is at an all-time high because after they get through doing their pirouettes, getting drunk, getting high, and being with their friends, when they're all alone at night in that room, those demons taunt the hell out of their mental dysfunction. And they realize and know within their heart of hearts that they are not right, which is why they're so flamboyant when they're in front of others. Force themselves to believe that they're living a lifestyle that's right before the eyes of the Most High. His word is forever settled and it won't change. It's an abomination. And no matter how many rainbows you try to take and plaster on a piece of paper and say it's yours, we know that that rainbow was a result of the Most High having destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, a city filled with homosexuality. And after he destroyed them, he sent a rainbow, which was a covenant, saying he would not destroy this earth by water no more, but he did say next time it would be fire. I smell smoke. You can steal the rainbow all you want and say you're taking it back, but it's not going to happen. I think like never before, we don't have to bash, but it's time to fight and show people I'm heterosexual. Isn't that a shame? That's the time we live in? That we have to fight to say I'm hetero? You can't even get your job or keep your job if you're not promoting some gay lifestyle. There's a lot of men who aren't even gay, but they're acting effeminate just to be accepted. But we already know that within our cultural scriptures that it said that the times would be like this before the return of the Son of Man. So we keep that in mind. Moving along to the second movie. The next big movie that everybody's going out to see is called Get Out. Now listen, I don't have a problem with you going to see the movies. If that's what you want to do and you feel you got some spare time, I'm not saying there's any spiritual edification in movies. Can the Most High God speak through film? Yes, he can speak through films. You can be inspired. Yes, you can. But for the most part, does he need it? No, he doesn't need it. What he's spoken, he's already spoken in his holy scriptures for us to believe. And this whole walk that we're into is by belief and faith, and we don't need to keep hearing it. But our people die for a sign. We're a visual people, so we'd rather see a movie. And once we can visually grasp it, then suddenly we want to say, that's God. Okay. Get Out is a semi-horror movie with demonic overtones. When you've got the other two black people working at the white people's plantation, I haven't seen it, I saw the trailer, and they're looking at them and touching them and reappearing and disappearing and people being hypnotized and people being plunged into the dark abyss of their hypno-conscious and stuff like that. These are things that you're ingesting in your spirit through your eye gate, through your ear gate, and you don't even realize that you're being introduced to a subtle form of witchcraft and Satanism. Now, my problem right now is that you got tons of Christians and Hebrew Christians and whatever you are all over the social media talking about God is speaking through this film. And what I get out of the film is he's saying, come out of her, my people. No, he didn't say that in the film. Just because there's the word out in both instances, it doesn't mean that's what he's saying. Of course, if you listen to the tone of my voice, you know I'm kind of short patient with some of the idiocy that's going on right now. He spoke get out of her a long time ago, and the majority of you still don't get out. You still go to the club. You still go to the parties. You still dress like the world. You do what the world does. You smoke what they smoke. You drink what they drink. You watch what they watch. And you don't come out. You don't understand what come out means. It means to separate yourself in a complete, authentic, organic fashion to the point where you are just Kodesh, holy, separate, awkward looking because you don't fit in. And most of us have a problem with not fitting in with society because we were born needing to be validated and vindicated. A lot of you have so much low self-esteem, even as a believer, you can't come out of this world because you're looking for validation at your job, at in your home, with the opposite sex, and in most cases, the same sex. So right now I see movies that are persuading my people as opposed to faith, the word, and us communicating with each other and lifting each other up to a higher standard through even like poetry, like Maya Angelou used to do, through good music, not this hip-hop stuff, through good music like our ancestors and like Marvin Gaye did where he was prophesying. It makes me want to holler the way they do my people. But no, now we want to let a satanic producer, production film director, and they pray over these films in satanic covens before they release them. And they make sure that there are subtle undertones of satanic worship in the movies, and half of y'all missed it, like the Eye of Ra and the other Illuminati symbolism all in the movies. But you didn't see it because they had you too hypnotized and focused on what you thought was the story. If there's any story, it's brothers leaving white girls alone. We got enough women in our own culture that need a man, and we need strong black families if you want to get anything from it. But don't start with the spiritual stuff. I feel that there is a force trying to connect us to a higher power through this movie. Shut the hell up. Eat your popcorn, watch the movie, go home, and get back to life. Most of you have gone too far. It's called mind control, and it's being effectively used against you. Effectively used. Anything that has to do, the Most High doesn't need any of this. Hollywood was created by HaShatan. The actors in the movies have all sold out to HaShatan to star in a movie. Anything that comes from Hollywood, which is a tree, a stick that the little witch used to use to cast a spell, they cast a spell on you. And you're sitting up here saying that this is of God. No, this is of Hollywood. This was approved by Satan, this movie, to be out, to create a divide. I guess they were hoping at this point the race war with Donald Trump and black people would be so high that this movie would really provoke it a little more. Needless to say, that's taking a different turn. We're going to go into that in a second. So my plight is with you. Got some girl who put up a video doing a review, and she calls herself some Hebrew Israelite woman who's a phenomenal teacher that teaches Hebrew and has this great relationship with the Father, and I keep the commandments, but I believe in the force and a higher power. You sound like you have an amalgamation and a potpourri of various New Age religions that are pulling you by the nose, and you will go in any direction possible. People, listen to me closely, and I'm about to go spiritual because I'm not just V Torah, I'm V the preacher. Who the hell do you think you are when you're in a world of fallen angels and the scripture says that woe unto the inhabitants of the earth because the whole world has been given over to the wicked? Who do you think you are to think that you can see and deal with Lucifer, who deceived Eve and deceived a third of the angels and comes as a minister of light? But you so tough, he can't touch you. You got it all. Some of y'all got the right holy days, but you're free of sin. But you know, we got a bunch of Sadducees and Pharisees is what we have. A bunch of self-righteous people that live amongst us that need to vindicate, validate themselves because they're a bunch of failures and dropouts. They can't even control their speech, their pants, their fluids. You think you're all that, and you're dealing with HaShatan, who deceived one-third of the angels, and we know that that number is probably in the millions. When we talk about the third of the angels, that number is the stars. So if he's able to do that, you think that you can't be deceived? So you don't think there's any deception in this movie when all of you come out after paying your $10 to Hollywood that's not going to go to help anybody but to keep these satanic, pedophilic, Satan-worshipping producers and directors going, and you gave them your money, and you're talking about this is of the Father? Right. I'm going to need you all to wake up and take a spiritual reality pill, and I'm not talking about New Age religion. okay? Because you have gone down the rabbit hole and you have given yourself over to New Age theology and that religion, and you have no idea it's taking place. You can't even shake yourself like Samson because you don't have no idea that it's taking place. You won't know until it's too late of what it is that you deal with. Humility, brothers and sisters, is the order of the day. Humility, righteousness, and respect for the Most High. Let me take a short break. We'll come back in a second. Here on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network, restoring the cultural identity of Black America, one show, one day at a time. Let's move into this next topic. I want you to take a listen to this video clip. This is dealing with, first of all, prayers go out to Will Allen, who was sentenced to 6 years in prison for a Ponzi scheme. We've got white folks involved in Ponzi schemes with stocks and trading every day, but they want to make an example out of this brother because he's a former Giants cornerback. And former cornerback was hoping to get a break from the judge, and his attorneys were seeking a 2.5-year sentence for pleading guilty to 4 of the 23 counts against him. He pleaded guilty to wire fraud and other charges in 2016. Allen and business partner Susan Dobb were obtaining loans from investors saying they'd use them for athletes. Instead, the duo ended up only paying out $22 million of the $35 million they collected. In addition to the six-year sentence, Allen and Dobb will also have to pay $16.8 million in restitution. Allen spent 10 years in the NFL, including 5 years with the Giants and 5 with the Dolphins. Well, you know, our people do have a tendency to get greedy. And I will tell you this, sometimes fame in sports and entertainment and music, which is short-lived, is the worst thing that could ever happen to you because you want the quick money. And there's a euphoria, and there are endorphins that are released during that time of your life that you will forever chase. And you're already a greedy people, not understanding that we have to become a more spiritual-focused and anticipatory people that are optimistic because we're so resilient. And we are blessed, but we can't fall into the greed that, you know, America hangs in front of us with this dangling carrot. So prayers out to the brother. He'll have to do his time, but it's a lesson to be learned by most people that you should pay attention to. Don't, they're waiting on you to fall into their Ponzi scheme. I want to play this by Mustafa Hefni. And he wants to be classified as Black. This is an older video, but he's going to let you know how Arabs, when they come here, Arabs and Egyptians were told, if they're dark, check white on everything you fill out, every application. Let's listen to this.
In Egypt, if you are Christian, you are a minority person. But if you're Black, you're not a minority person. You're a part of the mainstream society. And I came from this background. And in Egypt, you identify as Arab and as Muslim. And in this country, when I first came, I identified myself as Arab American and Muslim first. And gradually, I became to identify myself as black. I came to the U.S. in 1978, and I became a U.S. citizen in 1985. When I became a U.S. resident, I was told by the Immigration Naturalization that I am white. And I told them that I'm black, and they said, no, in this country, you are white. All Arab immigrants are white. I didn't pay much attention in the beginning to this, because in the Arab world, we identify.
And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, this man has a natural. He looks Ethiopian, or he looks like the brother from around the corner.
With our ethnicity first, as Arabs, and then with the race second, as black or white or whatever. But in this country, you identify with your racial group first and then with your ethnicity second. Gradually, I became black first and Arab second. And I rejected my white classification publicly for the first time in 1987, in February, as a panelist in a function sponsored by the Association of the Study of Black Life and History in Detroit. I said that I belong to two minority groups. I am Arab American and Black American, and I'm racially black and ethnically Egyptian. I was harassed by my employer right after that. I work for a white school district. The superintendent is white. All the associate superintendents are white, even though that we provide services to 30% black population. But the organization is white and the approach is very white. The attitude towards me changed completely after I went out publicly and rejected my white classification. A white coworker came to me and told me right after the function that he met with the superintendent, and if I don't keep my mouth shut, my educational career is over. He said, you have nothing to do with these people. You have a history and a culture. These people came from the jungle. You have nothing to do with them. These people lie and steal. When I see one of them in my neighborhood, I call the police.
Did you hear what he said? This is what he was told by white people, and I want you to understand that this is how other nations and races and these Americans and these rednecks see you. He was told that black people come from the jungle, and they lie and they steal. And when I see them in my neighborhood, I call the police. We still see that today, which is why a lot of our young men got shot, because people are quick to call the police and say he's out there with a gun. And the police who are here to serve and protect the other races, not us, will come and shoot and ask questions later. These people literally really believe that we as black Americans, I'm going to say, come from the jungle. They have no idea, because the information has been suppressed, which is what we're changing, that there was 100 million of our people killed in the transatlantic slave trade, but we are the Hebrews that ran to the Atlas Mountains. Even if you read from Babylon to Timbuktu, we were the original, what you call Jews and Hebrews. Read Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and understand that those people that are there are based on the Balfour Treaty. They are Khazars. And this Balfour Treaty first came into play in 1906. Okay, when Hitler was around and that Balfour Treaty was instituted, that's when they positioned those people. And Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9 tells us that the people that are in that land of Israel right now do not belong. They're Khazars. And the Palestinians are really the Philistines that you hear of in the book that are related to the Amalekites and the Egyptians. So none of those people are supposed to be in the land. The true people that are supposed to be in the land were our people that were civilized, that set up civilization, and was sold by the Arabs and the Africans and the Egyptians into slavery. We did not come from the jungle, but I need you to know that that's what they believe about your black behind, which is why when you are accosted or talked about, you don't need to get in a huff and reinforce what they already believe. You need to disarm them with the way that you act. Let me finish this.
I was told by the director of general education, who's retired now, in 88, I was told by him that I get people angry when I say that I'm black Egyptian. If I just say that I'm Egyptian, I would get along. I have to add that I was denied promotion twice because I chose black.
See, they don't want people to know that the Egyptians were black. They want people to think that the Egyptians were white. The Egyptians, he's going to give you information, were conquered by Rome and by Greece and by those Arabs. And that's when they began to change their complexion. The Egyptians were black. That's why Moses was able to hang amongst them, a Hebrew. The Egyptians were black. That's why a Hebrew by the name of who you call Jesus Christ, his mother and father were able to hide him during King Herod's tirade to kill every firstborn son looking for the King of Kings, who you call Jesus Christ, and the true name is Yeshua HaMashiach, because we could go down into Egypt and hide amongst them. Now imagine, that's why they want you to believe Egypt was white, so that they can tell you a white Jesus came and hid there. But we know everybody in that disposition, in that area, were people of hue, people of color, melanated people. So even if it was a black Egypt and you tried to bring a white Jesus, how are you going to hide? They're going to be like, hey, just take him back to Herod. So these are the facts, and this is the information that we're going to cover on Straight No Chaser, and this is the truth. But listen to this man talk, because he's talking scholarship firsthand. It's not secondhand right here.
This is part of my two lawsuits against my employer, which are currently pending. Two lawsuits.
Now, just for the education of our viewership, why don't you share with us a breakdown of Egypt as it is today, insofar as blacks or combinations thereof of European descent, what have you?
We don't have Egyptians of European descent in Egypt. We have a population which is basically the a mixture of ancient Egyptian blacks who intermarried with Arabs right after the Arab conquests. The ancient Egyptian population was brown and black before the Arab conquest. But before the Arab conquest came the Greeks. It was ancient. The ancient Egyptian population was in Egypt for thousands of years. The ancient Egyptian population was brown and black. And the Greeks came in 300 BC. And they started to intermarry with the local population, and then the Romans came and ruled from 70 BC until they were conquered by the Arabs and kicked out by the Arabs in the 7th century. And these people intermarried with the Egyptian Copts, and they made the pigmentation of the Egyptians, the Copts, much lighter because of this intermarriage with Europeans.
Now, you're an educator, okay? Now, how do you deal with situations when you practice your profession insofar as dealing with the mythology or the misconceptions about Egypt being a white civilization? How do you deal with that?
This is a big problem because Egypt, the ancient Egyptian civilization was a black civilization, and ancient Egyptians were black according to the Greek scholars and the Roman scholars. Ancient Egypt became white only in the 19th century and in the 20th century. And the scholar who is responsible for this is Seligman, the noted anthropologist from England, Seligman. White supremacy argues that blacks are inferior than white intellectually. They are subhuman and they are incapable of building a civilization. White supremacy had one dilemma until Seligman came. The dilemma was ancient Egypt was black according to the Greek and the Roman scholars. 10 of them said that, including Aristotle and Plato. 10 of them said that in writing. They had this dilemma. Ancient Egyptian was black. So if blacks are inferior intellectually and are incapable of building a civilization, how come the ancient Egyptians built a civilization? Seligman found the solution for this dilemma. He came up with a theory called the Hamite theory. He separated the blacks who built a civilization in Egypt and Ethiopia from the rest of the black race, and he called them brown-skinned whites, or the Hamites. So Seligman saved white supremacy from this dilemma, and all the white scholar follows him from that time on. This was at the end of the 19th century. And since that time, white scholarship says that ancient Egypt is white.
Mustafa Hefni is currently working on his doctorate degree at Wayne State University. His dissertation topic is a content analysis of the treatment of ancient Egypt in world history textbooks. And just how far is this determined Egyptian willing to go to be classified black?
I want to carry my case all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court of Justice.
Brothers and sisters, that is so powerful. I am in awe of this because I am going to download this clip and save it because there's so much historical and documented evidence from a doctor of a university from Egypt who's an Egyptian. And he's given you scholarship. He's given you scholarly information that Aristotle and I'm trying to remember the other philosopher that made it clear that all the Egyptians were black. And then you had this other, the name escapes me. I meant to write it down while I was listening, but I've heard this before, but hearing it again is like, because this fascinates me. This is education right here. This is historical education right here. These are facts that you can't refute because they're written by scholars and where they get this analysis, how they were able to say, well, Ethiopia and Egypt, they weren't blacks, they were Hamites and they were light-skinned. Well, guess what? That's true. They are of the Hamitic race, and the Hebrews were considered the Negroes because they were from Niger and different parts in other regions. So that's true, but what they don't know is that it was the Hebrews that built up the society for Egypt. But nevertheless, when you have Aristotle and Plato, that's who he said, and then he explained how people were befuddled by the fact that these people were black. He was like, we've got to come up with a theory. A theory is not a fact. A theory that we can throw out there to throw people off so they won't think that the first race that built these historical societies such as Egypt were the ones that initiated how society functions today. Okay, even Alexander the Great was after the fact. So when you think about Alexander the Great, he tried to copy what he knew we already had. Now, Alexander the Great conquered our people and took our temple and they took our records. They devastated us. They chased us back into Africa. They had the Spanish Inquisition where we were chased off in 70 AD. Our records were taken away from us. But this gentleman, who's a doctor, said he's going to take this to the Supreme Court of how he's classified. And they want people when they come here to classify themselves as other than black, because when you check black, you are discriminated against, no matter what. I'm sorry to say. Go to my page, Viva Space Preacher. Tamah, T-A-M-A-H, space Torah, and you can see this video and you can download it because everybody needs to have this interview, this video, and write down the information that this gentleman just gave you and then do your own research so you can understand some of the things he just said. How powerful was that? Okay, let me move on. So for the next one, we're going to look at financial literacy plight. Many of you already know this. I'm going to let you hear this little clip from this sister so she can kind of reinforce what you understand just about how we are avoiding wealth here in our community.
So, you know, if we spend $1.2 trillion a year.
She said the black community spends $1.2 trillion a year. You all don't even know your spending power. I'll let her finish.
The black community spends $1.2 trillion a year, but only 2% of that spending actually is spent in our community. So, you know, I ask people, imagine a country, $1.2 trillion is bigger than some countries in the world. So imagine a country that had a GDP of $1.2 trillion and only spent 2% of it in their country and the other 98% somewhere else. You would know that that is going to be a poor country. The reality is that our community is building wealth in other communities and not amongst ourselves. If that 2% that we spent in our community moved to even 10%, we would create 1 million jobs in the black community. So that's something we would do on our own, with our own dollars. So the idea here is not just to bank black, but to buy black, to be black, to support the black community. black dollars circulate in our community for only 6 hours. Like somebody can say they go get a haircut and then they go to another community and spend the rest of their money. 6 hours. The Asian American community, their dollars circulate in their community for 28 days. Not 28 hours compared to our 6 hours. 28 days. The Jewish community, 19 days. So we're taking our dollars and not circulating it amongst ourselves. But if we do that, that's how we build wealth. This is really the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is to increase our awareness, to increase our children's awareness of the power of our dollars. We have to be purposeful in terms of how we spend our money, how we save our money, what we do with our money. And so the strength of the community, put $100 in One United Bank. Put $100 in the Black-owned bank. Go to oneunited.com and put $100 in the bank. First of all, it's still your $100. You didn't lose anything. You still have $100 in the bank. In fact, the interest we pay is harder than what you get at Bank of America. And you can do online banking and bill pay and all those kinds of things the same as you can do with Bank of America. You know, as Evan Willis said, our ice is just as cold. But it's just the key is not just the dollars that you put in One United Bank. It's the change.
Okay, so she's pumping the bank right now, but I'm going to say at first, initially, I was in disagreement with her about her promoting the bank, but I think we should give our people a chance if they run that bank, oneunitedbank.com, because we throw away $50 on a Friday night, and to be able to go ahead and put $50 in there would increase some spending power and leverage for them to be able to make some investments on behalf of our community, and I think it's worth us giving them the opportunity and chance, because we give it to Wells Fargo and Bank of America every day, risking not ever seeing our money again and creating, as Wells Fargo did, false accounts in your name and damaging your credit report. Why not give them a chance? OneUnitedBank.com. The trillions of dollars that we spend as a community, she never lied. It only circulates for 6 hours. Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 1900s, we kept all of our money in our community, so it circulated every day, which is what built us up, brought us to the point of having our own banks, businesses, bus lines, movie theaters, schools, homes, lending institutions. And I'm not so much about trying to build up in this kingdom, because I know there's another one coming. However, I would like to see us understand, have some financial literacy and begin to understand how the dollar works so that we're not just idiots and building up other nations, okay? Because they're taking pride off the fact that you are illiterate as it comes to finances. So let's remove the illiteracy piece and begin to build the respect for our people and our community by investing in each other, and then stop having the self-hate saying, I hate doing business with black people. They're so black. You take a chance every time you do that. But every time you go, get your nails done by Madam Lou. She's sending it home, and she's sending her kids to school. Every time you use another nation, they're taking their kids to school, or else they're building a house. You know, the Latinos are building homes in Mexico for pennies while they take all your money here because you'd rather use them. So I think that this is a portion, some things of what she, there's some truth. The Asian community, they have elders that discuss how they will promote one new business a month within the community, and the money that's put into the community will go towards building that business. And then, like she said, that money circulates for 26 days, which empowers them and enriches them and makes them an economic threat. This is why they're not letting you black folks go back to Africa. Trillions of dollars? That's bigger than some countries. We make money, we spend money, and they know it because you are a lavish people with your gold teeth, your gold chains, your Benzes, your big houses, and you stay in debt. That's right. You stay in debt. So you increase the ratio for America, and they dare not let you go, which is why Trump is parading you and celebrating you right now. And it is a shell game, okay? Because you all are lowering your defenses, and you're going to get caught slipping. You will get caught slipping. You will get caught slipping. So, nonetheless, she brings up a good point. I think you should look into the investment into the Black Bank and do what you can to go into your Black community. Y'all love soul food and different things like that. So let's invest and promote in the Black community. Good information. Pro-life activist destroys the abortion argument. Let's listen to this sister as she's breaking down some information.
I am from a tribe called the Igbo tribe in Nigeria. If I tried
Hebrew,
to translate
tribe.
In my native tongue what it means for a woman to choose what to do with her body, I couldn't. Most of the African native languages don't even have a way of phrasing abortion to mean anything good. Now, as communities of people and as societies, where it actually then becomes colonization, a neo-colonization, is that people from the Western world come to Africa and try to give us these kinds of language that we could never translate into our native tongue. They tell us that it actually can mean something for a woman to do something with her body, which isn't really morally bad. But anyway, the first thing that we have to think of and remember is that as communities, which was one thing I highlighted right at the beginning, culturally, most of the African communities actually believe by tradition, by their cultural standards, that abortion is a direct attack on human life. So for anybody to convince a woman that abortion is good... So for anybody to be able to convince any woman in Africa that abortion is actually a good thing and can be a good thing, you first of all have to tell her that what her parents and her grandparents and her ancestors thought her what is actually wrong. You're going to have to tell her that they have always been wrong in their thinking. And that, madam, is colonization.
I need a passport to get over here to Africa. And I'll have you know that we have a lot of our tribes that are still in Nigeria, the Igbos, which is Igbo means Hebrew, and our people did hide down there and mingle, and not all of them were sold in slavery. The value of life and culture still is abundant over in Africa. You know, the problem is that America only wants to show you starving, swollen stomach little babies and deserts and sands and lions and tigers to make you believe there's nothing over there for you. I'm glad this sister spoke out, and I hope this is a message that all you sisters should hear. We'll probably echo this again on the Heart of a Hebrew Woman, because she's like, you know, there will be no colonization. You will not introduce this over to our babies. Just like over in Kenya, they told Obama, you will not introduce homosexuality. We will not pass the law. There are values that are still there and principles and morals that these people are living off of. What say you? This whole argument at the UN that she was talking about is because they were saying poor countries need abortion because they don't have enough money to take care of their kids, and that's so untrue. So untrue. So the sister spoke out real good. Once again, let's see, it was liveaction.org/the petition. Abortion is a direct attack on human life. African pro-life activist Obi Anuju Ikeosha, powerful speech about why poor countries like those in Africa don't want legal abortion. All praises to the Most High, because there's another thing happening here in America with illegal abortion. These fetuses and the body parts are being sold. And the sad thing is that they're being sold to food manufacturing companies so that they can develop flavor enhancers. And so everything you're pretty much eating has aborted fetus cells included in it, along with the vaccinations that are being utilized. So, very good speech, something that we should all be saying, a way that we should all be living. Okay, I'm moving right along. This is information that you can always write to us or email us about, talk to us, and get the information out to you, but you need to do your own research at all times. The next topic that was in line, Trump's speech in HBCU education. Boy, Trump had me. I told my wife, I'm voting for Trump after the speech. Boy, that was a Hollywood presentation. He had me sold. I mean, if he had been like that throughout the election, he wouldn't have had to even use the Electoral College. They wrote that script to the T, and he delved off of it, and it was an emotional night. But if we know that these points will never be achieved, but at the same time, I believe that the increase of the Dow Jones market, 20,000 strong, and some of the things he's doing for inner city and trying to remove crime and the martial law that's taking place in Chicago that they're not telling you about, some of these things are good. Removal of abortion clinics and communities, these things are good. But I think that this little honeymoon period will come to an abrupt halt once all of your defenses have been lowered, your standards have been lowered, and then you will be ripe and plump for the deception that is coming. There's still a third world war that's coming our way. However, the racist Ku Klux Klan and all of them are still at work. Still at work to the point where they have shown up to some of the historically black colleges and universities and written down in the courtyards in large writing, "Welcome to the Trump Plantation," because they figure now Trump owns your black behind, because he has stepped in and signed an executive order to take over and begin to assist the HBCUs. We got what we want. White folks are mad, upset, and so they're using reverse psychology and saying, well, now Trump owns you and we own you, and you won't have the freedom. However, our kids were in need of some assistance. What we do with it, I think, is what's going to be most important and responsible. I can care less about some words on the ground or what people think, because we can't stop people from thinking. I told you it's what we do at the end of the day. Even with the executive orders, they don't control the direction that we point our children in. One thing that's said is that if you train up a child in the way they should grow, when they're old, they can't depart, which is the foundation of our culture. And our culture is steeped in the original law. And the original law is the Ten Commandments. President Trump signed an executive order Tuesday that moves a federal initiative supporting historically black colleges and universities directly into the White House. A move depicted as an effort to give the schools more clout within the government. HBCU leaders said they were cautiously optimistic about the shift. They are eager for the government to raise its investment in their schools, but wary of promises devoid of action. The proof of the pudding is in the taste, and I'm not going to get excited until we see some real numbers, said David Wilson, president of Morgan State University. Trump's actions direct the White House initiative on HBCUs to operate from the White House instead of the Education Department. The initiative begun under President Jimmy Carter assists colleges in assessing federally sponsored programs, including government research projects and student aid. Some view the move as a signal that the more than 100 historically black schools are a priority for the administration, but others said that without monetary support, it is purely symbolic, and here is your support. We had Roland Martin running his mouth, talking about what you're going to do about HBCUs, and then the moment he does it, we get wary. Well, he has stepped to the plate, because this did not have to be on his agenda in his first 100 days, and that's real talk. I'm telling you, black people, he's going to paint golden streets for you, and it's going to look good. Now, if I were you, I would go ahead and take advantage of it. But know this, that it will not last long, and you're being deceived. You're being lulled. You're following the Pied Piper, and he's leading you somewhere, because you're going to put your trust in and lower your defenses. Let me take you back to the campaign trail, and this was said to your community. What have you got to lose? Absolutely, exactly. That was what was said. And so in order to solicit your support, and he's also they're also trying to destroy the Democratic Party, because Hillary Clinton and Obama did a good job of that, and they're trying to build it back up. But that's to no avail. People understand this. We're moving into economic collapse of the dollar. We're moving into global governance, and they want us to be participatory because of the trillions of dollars that we spend. And they don't want to change that. As long as they can control us, they want our trillions of dollars, and they want you to have monetary success. They want to leverage it, control it, as long as you never think about going back into a place of solidarity and community and knowledge of who you are as a people, and want to pull out of America and have your own, because you realize that you've been bamboozled. So they're talking about giving billions of dollars to the black colleges. I'm all for it. Got a bunch of moonlighting at these black colleges and a lot of fornication and adultery going on, which needs to be brought down and monitored. You got a bunch of our kids that are becoming Greeks, and they love that because they go to school and they pledge Greek and get into the Greek culture, which destroyed our people, according to the Book of Maccabees and through Alexander the Great. We are not Greeks. So it's all a part of big deception, and we don't even see the long run. I'm all for education, but I need education with awareness so that you're not duped with the education that you have. I'm informed of the ills of my enemy. One thing to understand, like even in the Art of War, they teach you to understand what your enemy's thinking. And one of the ways they would destroy the enemy is from within, to be right there amongst them. But not everyone's called to do that. So information must be with awareness and an awakening and a foundation of spirituality and understanding who we are as a people and our culture and a relationship with the Most High that can't be moved. We don't depend on government. We don't depend on Trump. We don't depend on another nation, another race. We rely on our spirits, our connectivity, and our connectivity to the Most High and what he originally had given us, and find out what our ancestors did to put us on this path and see if we can restore ourselves to the right path. And the right path is to come back to our culture. And our culture is, we are the Hebrews. You can call yourself Hebrew American if you want to, but we are those that did build society. We are the melanated man, the first man before the Hamites that helped to institute and start all of these things that do exist. Do the research, people, and know what's happening all around you. Listen, I am the Torah. You've been listening to Straight No Chaser, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network here on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm going to leave you with what I always say, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey and not a destination. Kwame Yasha Allah, peace and blessings.
To increase my name. Everybody thinks we're wrong. Mother, who are they to judge us?
Mother, mother,
simply cause we wear our hair long.